is telling you how you should live your lives and how you should vote, you should run in the other direction. And that is what you have an opportunity to do. I didn't know at the time that a Cheney in charge of American foreign policy would lead to a lot of innocent Americans and also other people losing their lives. I didn't know that it would lead to disastrous foreign policy. You guys now know that, so vote like you know it, and don't reward the party of Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney and Kamala Harris. Reward the party of Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk, and Donald J. Trump.
J.D. Vance, they're making the case for Donald Trump, making the case for you. If you are on the bubble right now, I don't know who's out there right now who doesn't know who they're voting for. I imagine there's quite a few people who are like, gosh, do I even want to make the time to vote? Let's bring in our first guest of the show, host of the Guy Benson Show and Fox News contributor, political editor at Town Hall. Guy Benson joins us on the Andy Frye Show to get the show kicked off today. Guy, thank you for squeezing us into a busy schedule. We really appreciate the opportunity to have a quick discussion with you here.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you about the closing arguments. As we are closing in 4 or 5 days left for people to make a decision to show up and vote, what do you feel about the presentation of each of the two parties trying to vie for American votes?
Well, I mean, look, it's tough to tell what reality is because there's a lot of sort of data swirling around out there, and maybe we can get into that. But if you just look at the words, the behavior, the language, the body language, if you will, of these two campaigns, it seems like the Trump campaign is more optimistic, more confident, and that the Harris campaign is less so, right? I mean, if you look at Trump, he's in Wisconsin, he's in a garbage truck, he's wearing the vest, he's cracking jokes, he's being self-deprecating, which I think is Trump generally at his best and funniest is when he does that, because he does a lot of other stuff that rubs people the wrong way. I think this rubs people the right way. And you see him, he seems kind of mostly at ease out there. And you look at them, for example, holding a rally here in New Mexico. Then they're coming to Virginia. You know, there's some nibbles that they might be looking at New Hampshire. That's at least a campaign that is sending a signal that they are trying to expand the map at the last moment. Whether that's real, whether that's true based in data, you know, we'll know soon enough. But that is different than, you know, the Harris campaign that just redirected around $2 million, I believe, out of North Carolina. Still spending heavily there, but they had put more money in, and then they decided, no, never mind, let's put that somewhere else. You know, there's been, at least to my eye and ear, kind of like incoherent, shrill, desperate-seeming messaging from their side all over the place with the media kind of going with them. So, I mean, if you just kind of squint, it feels like Trump's the favorite, but it all will come down to the actual composition of the electorate, who actually participates, and we won't have those answers until next week. So that's what makes it a nail biter. You just don't know.
Well, we certainly here at 97.1, we're a Fox News Radio affiliate radio station, and all eyes will be glued on election night to Fox News' Brett Baer, Martha McCallum news coverage of all of the events, Fox News Democracy 2024. You are going to be a part of that, along with many other wonderful voices to lend different perspectives to the results of the night. Do you feel like every election that we go through, we know something now that we didn't know then, but we don't know now what we'll know in the future? Like, where are the blind spots right now that you might be trying to flush out so that we can have a understanding of what is taking place in this campaign?
Yeah, and so, and just to plug what you mentioned, they're going to have me, I think, popping on once or twice to Fox News Channel with Brett and Martha and that team coverage. For most of the night, I'll be on your local Fox station with Shannon Bream and John Roberts, Mary Catherine Hamm, Juan Williams.
That's great.
So that'll be, so check your local listings for Fox there. And then there's, of course, Fox News Channel as well. So, and then Fox News Radio, of course, will be doing our thing as well, in addition to everything else. So we'll be very busy on Tuesday, perhaps late into the night. But I think the premise of that question is the one that makes me feel so unsettled about making any real confident predictions about what's going to happen, because you kind of feel like you have a sense of what should happen, and you look at a lot of the data, and you look at the so-called fundamentals of the race, and you say, well, there should be no way that X, Y, or Z can happen. And then it does, right? So, like, in 2016, some of the fundamentals benefited Donald Trump, and I think a lot of people kind of just overlooked that and looked at much of the data, which suggested Hillary Clinton was going to be a, you know, clear favorite to win. Then we all remember what happened there. Then in, you know, 2020, it was kind of a mixed bag. Trump came, I think, closer to winning than a lot of people thought he might. But 2 years later, in 2022, it's like, wow, I've never seen, or at least many people were saying this, some of the best fundamental, like, environment type factors for an out party in a midterm cycle, you know, red wave incoming, and then it didn't, right? And mm-hmm. So, like, all that conventional wisdom building up to that didn't actually play out with who actually showed up and participated. And independents didn't break the way Republicans hoped and expected they would. Democrats turned out in larger numbers than, you know, was by many people expected to be the case. So it's like, okay, that kind of upset the apple cart on expectations and what we thought we knew about what that midterm might look like. So you can kind of look at what's happening in 2024 and try to look back to 2020 as a guide and sort of some hybrid. And you're just kind of wondering, okay, what are the unknown unknowns that are going to catch us by surprise? And what might be some of the, what we think are known knowns that are wrong, that won't actually happen this time? So it's that's what has me second guessing myself a lot and not trying to be, you know, too definitive in predictions, because it's been a very turbulent and unpredictable ride here for the last couple of years. And the last point I'll make on this is, I see a lot of people trying to do somewhat apples to apples comparisons of, you know, 2020 patterns to 2024 patterns. Like, well, look at the early voting numbers in, you know, fill in the blank state compared to 2020. It's looking more like the, and it's like, okay, 2020 was in the middle of this pandemic with a bunch of crazy new rules changes. Mm-hmm. It was a black swan global event. I just don't think that is a reliable baseline to use when you're trying to figure out what might happen this year. Like, if you're using the pandemic election as a baseline from which to extrapolate for this year, that might set yourself up for really bad analysis.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, caution is the word of the day, and turnout is the entire ball game. If the Republicans, I just saw polling from the New York Times, just came out in the battleground states. Kamala Harris has a slight lead among people who always participate in elections. Among people who did participate in the midterms but didn't do the primaries this year or in 2022, they're tied. Among people who have not voted since the 2020 election, Trump is up 12 points. Oof. With that group in the battlegrounds. And among those who have never voted but are eligible in those battleground states, Trump is up like 20, I think 19 or 20 points. So if the Republicans are able to get those low propensity or new voters to turn out, that could very easily swamp whatever small advantage Harris has among the hardcore always voters. But will they? Will those people actually participate in those kinds of numbers? We don't know. And we'll find out.
Yes, we sure will. Guy Benson, thank you for the time today. I want to remind listeners they can hear the Guy Benson Show on 97.1 on Saturday evenings. And we will be tuned into your coverage election night. I love hearing from all sorts of different people on what they're pulling from everything that comes from that. It's like a nerd's dream when you're in this field. And we've got a lot of them here, and we're looking forward to seeing your coverage and listening to your insight on election night.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your time. Guy Benson, The Guy Benson Show on Saturdays at 11 p.m. right here on 97.1. Great to squeeze him in here in the beginning. I think does his daytime show air soon? He's got a busy schedule.
Yeah, it's like, I think it starts at 3 p.m. Eastern.
So he's probably prepping for that. And it's nice that in the middle of the day, we can get a lot of different people that are in their off part of the time for Fox News. As the Fox News radio affiliate here in St. Louis, we have access to those people. But of course, if they have shows on during the middle of the day, there are just some people we don't get. But there are others that we do.
I'll tell you what's nice. Starting the Annie Fry show
with somebody other than
Thursday.
Me.
Yeah. I was going to get there eventually.
I was taking your joke.
Yeah,
I'm taking the wind out of your sails there, Wiggs.
Yeah, you got it. But starting the Annie Fry show on the Thursday before a major national presidential election with numbers. Are you kidding me? I love it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Give
mm-hmm.
me more of it.
So I suppose Guy Benson will probably be participating in the election coverage, because I know, talk to me a little bit, Ryan, about election night here on the air in 97.1. Most people listening, you're probably going to be glued to your TV, but that's not the way it works for everybody. A lot of people are working. A lot of people might be, you know, if you're like a patrol person or something and you're in your car, you might be listening to the radio. We will have you fully covered locally, nationally. Fox News coverage is ours to have. We are the partner with them. Mark Reardon's going to be hosting it. What? Tell us the lay of the land.
Yeah, so Mark Reardon gets off the air at 6 o'clock. And then from 6 to 7, we're going to do national coverage.
He gets off the air at 6 from his regular show.
Yes. And then, so he's going to have a very short break where we're going to have national coverage for an hour. Then starting at 7, it's right back to local, where we're going to be talking about not only federal races, but all the local amendments and Missouri races. I'm sure if there's anything in Illinois, they'll cover that as well. We'll all be calling in. So if you participate in 97.1 at all, you know, this should be at least something you dip into. Just to have fun with us.
Especially with the local Missouri results that are going to come in. There are all those amendments. People are going to want to know as soon as possible how those are tracking. 97.1 will have you covered minute by minute on that. And then online, the Annie Fry Show are going to be like sitting at the kids' table in my basement covering it the way we cover it on YouTube.
Yeah, we're doing live election coverage from election headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're calling that now?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have separate little stations.
Your basement,
where we will be just sitting and kind of hanging out in kind of like the main area and then side area, you know, like analysis zones. And you're going to have some special features,
we'll
I think.
We'll be about 10 feet away from each other in the different zones. We'll set it up so it's an illusion.
Yeah, a whole lot of feedback on the mics because we're going to act like we're in different rooms, but we're not.
We try to have fun. I mean, ultimately, what we're saying is there 97.1 is presenting you serious professional coverage, and that's Mark Reardon's job.
Yeah.
That's not our job.
Exactly.
We will give you results. We will react with you as the results come in. It's a watch party kind of more of a deal. And if you subscribe to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, I will have you will get a notification. Or if you go to the channel, I don't have the stream scheduled yet, but it will be scheduled soon, and you can go reserve your spot. You'll get a notification.
And look, if you ever, obviously, we have a very interactive show right now. Like, you can get on the stream right now and comment, and we're going to see that.
But vote in the poll.
If you want our full attention, come election night. Because
this is the night.
Yeah, like, we will be talking to you directly on election night if you want to talk to us.
I stayed up with people till like 3 a.m. in 2020. Brad was there as a listener. And I mean, I'm like slouched over my couch going, I don't like the way this looks. I know he's winning, but I don't know. I'm not so sure about this. And then we did that together. And then now we're going to do it again together. And hopefully,
man,
a good
Guy Benson. That's the couple numbers I had not heard about the low propensity voters versus the high propensity voters.
That's a lot.
Last thing I'll say on the subject is, even among high propensity voters, Trump is not doing poorly. I mean, he's talking about, what, a point or two? So that makes the race really close, let alone low propensity. That just sounds good.
Yeah, get them and get them out to vote.
Wendy wants to know if there's any whiskey slush this time.
Good question.
That is a great question. Whiskey slush or blackberry moonshine? I'm kind of leaning blackberry moonshine right now.
Oh, now that you say it, I am.
It needs to be... I don't know, whiskey. I like to drink whiskey when it's cold outside. It warms you up a little bit. Blackberry moonshine. This is not Halloween weather.
No. It's going to be, what, 67 today?
I don't know.
And that's cooler than it was yesterday.
I'm going to extend to you the distinct invitation, Ryan Wiggins, if you so choose, to stay for the next conversation with Hans von Sipkowski, because I want to talk to him about election integrity.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know you always have more questions about that than I do.
let's do it, sure.
The Thursday before the election day, stick around. We'll talk to Hans when we come back, and we'll ask him. He's a former FEC commissioner, so he understands elections and election integrity to the T. He has a book about our broken elections, how the left changed the way you vote. There are things coming out of, what was it, Michigan? Or it was Michigan yesterday,
yes,
where they're like, oh, there's all these duplicate votes. Lara Trump and the crew at the RNC have
swooped in
and
day up.
Handled it.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem. So, like, every single time something like that happens, we all go, oh, here we go. And then something got corrected, and we all go, whew.
The fact that they're on it so quickly this year, that's great. That's
so, but Hans will know.
Yeah.
And Hans will have his eyebrow raised in certain places, and he'll have confidence in others, and we're going to talk to him about that when we come back. Election integrity. Are we going to have more confidence coming forward in this election? People are voting right now. We know that the ballots are being cast. Hans von Spakovsky, he's got the answers for us and for you next on The Andy Fry Show.